I have kind of an unusual text this morning. And quite honestly, when I started with it, I went in a totally different direction than where I ended up. So I'm not real sure of where we're going to end up this morning. It may be in another direction altogether. So I don't know. Just I trust that the Lord will take His word and use it to speak to each one of your hearts. And that's really what it's about. But I have a thought that I want you to remember this morning. It's from the 18th chapter of the book of John, and it's in the form of a question, and it's asked by a very unusual person, Pilate. Pilate said, "What is truth? What is truth?" And as I thought about that, I thought, okay, I know what has transpired here. I know what the conversation has been between him and the Lord. And I couldn't understand why he might be questioning what the truth was. But then as I begin to read and as I begin to study a little more, I found that maybe my idea wasn't even close to being right to begin with. And I have a lot of ideas that are not close to being right sometimes, so I readily admit to that. I find out as I study more in the Word of the Lord that sometimes there are things that are in there that I've missed. In this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, this was when Jesus was being interrogated before Pilate. Pilate had asked him if he was the king. And you remember that Jesus had responded to him and said, "Thou sayest it." You know, Jesus did not deny that. And he certainly was a king. He was a king in a different perspective, though, than what Pilate was thinking. And he is still the king. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to remain the King of Kings forever. There's no question about that. Pilate was more concerned about whether or not he was going to overthrow his domain or overtake his place. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am the way, the truth, and the life. He goes ahead and expands that just a little more even than that. Now, let me get over here and just read you that whole verse too. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man cometh to the Father but by me. I think it's important that we understand that the significance and the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." The portion of the word that I want to read to you this morning is farther back toward the beginning of the book of John, out of the 8th chapter. And Jesus has been in the temple. He's been in discussion with the Pharisees, and he's now been in the temple, and he's been teaching, and he's been speaking. Then said Jesus again unto them, I'm starting with the 21st verse, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Is he going to commit suicide?" I want you to listen to what Jesus had said. Again, Jesus said, let me find my place here. "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." So they made the assumption, they jumped to the conclusion that he was going to do something to take his own life. And so again, we got to be very careful as we study the word of the Lord, as we listen to what the Lord has to say. And they say, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Now, a couple of more things I need to get thrown in here before I get too far along here in the reading. And I'm going to read more this morning than I normally do. I'm probably going to read more and maybe comment less about what the scripture is saying, but I think it's important that you hear this particular portion of the word of the Lord. There are too many people who won't take the time to sit down and read the word themselves, and they expect me to do it for them. And so if you're one of those people who are expecting me to do it for you, well, I'm not going to disappoint you this morning. I'm going to read to you what the word of the Lord says. One of the things that you need to understand is that Satan has always been a liar. From the very beginning, he was a liar. The first thing that he said unto the man and the woman after that God had placed them in the Garden of Eden and he came to them was a lie. Because whenever he had spoken to the woman, said, hath God not said you shall eat of every tree of the garden? And she said, well, yes, we can, excepting one. And if we eat of it, we shall surely die. And what did he say? He said, well, you're not going to die. Satan always tells you what you want to hear. Naturally speaking, he will tell you whatever that he wants you to hear and knows that you want to hear and is easy for us to listen to. It's much more difficult to listen to the voice of the Lord and follow the Spirit of the Lord than it is to listen to Satan, because he offers the most pleasant thing there is. Sometimes the Lord's a little tough. He's the best. He's honest. He's right. But we don't always look at that. We don't always think. Naturally speaking, this old natural body of ours is prone to sin. It's always will be. It's not going to change. There's not one of you here that's ever going to be perfect in these natural bodies. So you just will give up on that. Those of you who may think you are, you're in for a surprise. You're not going to make it. Not a single one of us. There is a perfect part about us. And that which is perfect, we have no control over anyway. You can't do anything about that. You can't blemish it. You can't tarnish it. You can't ruin it, because it is sealed and it's beyond your control. But now let me tell you, you listen to what the word of the Lord says. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Now listen, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If I only took that one verse out of the scripture, it explains why people are going to die in their sin. Sins, plural. We don't need everything else to be able to understand why people die and go to hell. We're teaching and preaching everything else under the sun as to why people die and go to hell. But the bottom line is, the reason people die and go to hell is the sin of unbelief. That's what Jesus said right here. He said, those who believe not. That's the sin of unbelief. It's not complicated. We've got all of these things going on today, and we've got this thing so messed up that it's no wonder people are confused. First of all, it's no wonder that people are confused because they've got a liar who wants to speak to them all the time, and that's Satan. He speaks to every one of us, every opportunity, yes, even us as his children. We are not immune from him speaking to us. But we do have one that speaks to us that we know his voice. We recognize him and we know the difference in what is right and wrong, what is truth and what is not. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father excepting through me. I like that. Yeah. Not going to get around him, Stan. Got to go through him. People try everything under the sun today. We've got every teaching under the sun today as to what's going to get people into heaven. The truth of the matter is there is only one person that will allow you to get into heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that that's going to happen is when you come to him in faith, believing to the saving of your soul, and allow him to save you. I wish we had more Baptists who would preach and teach works after salvation as many of them that are preaching and teaching it before salvation. I mean that. Somebody says, well, now Baptists don't believe in works for salvation. Well, they're not supposed to. But there's an awful lot of them that do. Because then I listen to them, I hear them saying, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to go here, you've got to get this. Right away, that tells me you're trying to do works. There's no way in the world you're ever going to be able to work out and do enough to get to merit salvation. It's a gift of God. He gives it to us. We have to come through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said to these Pharisees and to these people who were gathered here, and he was in the temple, so we had a religious group of people who were here who had come there to worship, but they'd come also to listen to him. He said, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Who are you? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus said, whenever you've lifted me up, then you shall understand. You're going to know these things. Remember what happened when Jesus had finally bowed his head and gave up the ghost? There was an old boy standing there who had been watching. He was there on duty. And he said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. Yeah, a little late for him to recognize it. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to wait until it's too late. Too late. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall, listen, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What a wonderful statement that is to know that we can know the truth. We can know him, and we can be free. What a wonderful experience it is to have him in your heart and your life, and to know that you're free from the law of condemnation, that you're free from the guilt that damns the souls of men to hell of unbelief. That you're free of that because you believe to the saving of your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and touched your heart and saved you. Why then would we want to teach? Why then would we want to preach? Why would we want anyone else to think there's any other way in heaven above or earth beneath whereby that people must be saved and accepting through him the Lord Jesus Christ? But don't for a second think that Satan isn't always at work and isn't always trying to confuse people and stir up problems about the salvation of the souls that are men or lost and keep them in darkness to their damnation. He delights in that. That's his purpose. That's his mission. And he'll stop at no means that's available to him. And he's got most everything available to him. God gave him quite a bit of authority and quite a bit of permission whenever he sent him back here upon the earth. But that's where he's limited. There's no power nor authority when he gets on the other side. Just need to remember that. Listen. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And ye then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? He said, oh, you know what? We're our ancestors. Boy, we're the seed of Abraham. What would you imply then that we've been in bondage? We're the seed of Abraham. We are entitled. You got a lot of people today who think they're entitled. Let me tell you something. There's not a single soul that's ever lived here upon the face of the earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ who's entitled. We're not even deserving. But thank God he was willing and cared enough and loved us enough to redeem our soul. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. That I'm sure must have caused some consternation among those people. Sometimes the truth does hurt. Sometimes it isn't always easy. But let me tell you something. The truth is what's going to prove out. And Jesus said, I am the truth. All these people, they were so convinced that because of they were the seed of Abraham that they were going to be okay. Jesus said, No. You won't be. You're not even going to be with me. You're not even going to see me. You can't be with me because you don't believe in me. He also said then here, you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. He said, I've told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So you know what? You know what they're making reference to here? They're going back now. Now then they've decided that this fellow by the name of Jesus was born out of wedlock, and so that he certainly can't be. He can't be of God. We know about Abraham. He was not born of fornication. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Yeah. Why do you not understand my speech? even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, if you thought a while ago when I made a pretty rash statement about Satan and how that he's a liar and the father of lies and everything, then you better read what God said here in his word, what Jesus himself said to these people concerning Satan. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I'm going to quit right there. That's not all there is left to be read. You got some homework to do this time. Yeah. Next Sunday, I'm going to say, how many of you went home and did your home? No, I won't do that. I tried that one time and I was embarrassed. I don't think the people were embarrassed, but I was. I said, Lord, they didn't pay any more attention to me than I thought maybe they were at the time. But no, listen, do go home and read this. Reread what I just read to you. Go back and read the first part of the chapter. Go over and read the rest of that. Go over and read where that Pilate, as he interrogates Jesus. You know what Pilate did? Most of you don't know that Pilate declared him as innocent. We like to blame Pilate for being the one who put him to death. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him after I've interrogated him, after I've discussed this with him. I don't find anything. And then that's when Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? But Pilate is the one who finally passed the sentence of death upon him, because he went out and he listened to the people. And he yielded to the pressures of the people, who said, give us a murderer. Give us a man who is a sinner. We don't want this perfect man. Let's get rid of him. Crucify him.